John Berridge was one of the important but lesser known leaders of the 18th century evangelical awakening, born in 1716 in Nottinghamshire, the eldest son of a wealthy farmer. And after his early education in the town of Nottingham, he returned home and his father had hopes that he would take over the farm. And together they travelled to lots of agricultural markets and fairs, and young John was invited to price the cattle, sheep and pigs in order to gain experience of the work. But he was so wildly wrong in his estimates of the value of farm animals that his father was almost driven to despair and worked it out that his son was never going to make a farmer. So as second best, he was sent to Cambridge University. Here Berridge found a way of life that interested him. He became a fellow of Clare College and spent 15 years at Cambridge, which may have advanced his learning, but spiritually he went backwards. Age 29, he became a Church of England minister and spent his Sundays literally preaching his heart out to the folk at Stapleford Church, a village near Cambridge. Seems to have spent most of the weekdays back at the college. Then in 1755, when he was 38, he moved to a church in a village called Everton in Bedfordshire, and for 2 years preached the same sort of message as he'd given to the Stapleford people. Now, in both places, the response to the preaching was, people were unmoved, they were totally disinterested, and he began to doubt whether he was preaching the right thing. What happened next is best heard in his own words. As I was sitting in my house one morning, thinking about a text of scripture, the following words were darted into my mind. Cease from your own works, only believe. Tears started to flow from my eyes. He'd just, by the way, been praying, Lord, lead me to the knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus. And it was now that he knew for certain that Christ had become his Saviour. There was no known human instrument in his conversion to Christ. And all this happened when he was 41 years old. So don't miss the fact that God calls older people, not just teenagers and students. He gave up preaching salvation by self-effort and replaced it by justification by faith alone. And the effect was immediate and sensational. Berridge noted, as soon as I preached Jesus Christ and faith in his blood, believers were added to the church continually. People flocked from all parts to hear the gospel. Some walked as many as 20 miles and came regularly. There were services at 7 in the morning, 10:30 in the morning, 2:30 in the afternoon, and to finish the day on a Sunday, 1 in the evening. In the good weather, the people sat in the fields eating the food they had brought, and in the winter and the bad weather, they packed the church house, barns, farm outbuildings, in fact any enclosed space. And in his first year of real Christian ministry, he saw 1,000 people profess conversion to Christ. When he was 42, he made the decision to copy George Whitfield and preach in the open air. Almost immediately, something startling happened. The year was 1759. The place was Everton. It's so small that if you look it up in the AA Gazetteer, it isn't even listed. Its population then was well under 200. Throughout that year, there were astonishing scenes in that little church. Here's John Wesley recording a visit he made to it. "At the morning service I saw several people who cried out under conviction of sin. In the afternoon service people filled even the windows and were standing on the outside of the pulpit, so the Berridge was almost crushed by the crowd. Berridge's text was about having the form of godliness but denying the power of it. The presence of God really filled the place. Great numbers of people wept." Well, after such services, seekers after the Lord squeezed into Berridge's house so he could give them a word of exhortation, commenting on the amazing scenes of this Everton revival. Marcus Sloan says, "Eternity became so real that the feelings of many people could not be controlled." Berridge himself was absolutely opposed to emotionalism that did not lead on to spiritual progress. But the flame which started in Everton could not now be contained within one small village. Soon Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire, Hearts and Essex were all affected, and to cope, Berridge now spent his Sundays in Everton and then Monday to Saturday, riding about 100 miles a week and preaching on average about a dozen sermons. And soon he had about 40 regular congregations. And for setting up what were really 40 new churches, he was often in trouble with the local landowners and other people. A bishop tried him to tell him, "Preach only in Everton," he said. Berridge was well known for his mischievous sense of humour. And he earnestly informed the bishop he only ever preached on two occasions. "And what are they, Mr. Berridge?" "In season and out of season," came the answer. Here's a description of his weekly circuit. "I have long rides on muddy roads, cold houses to stay in, rough food, lumpy beds with stiff blankets like boards for a covering. I rise at 5 in the morning to preach. I breakfast on poor tea, and at 8 I mount a horse, my boots never cleaned, and then ride home praising God for all his mercies." But as with all the people God really uses, there was weakness. He was a victim of lifelong, very severe attacks of asthma. In fact, he even died of an asthma attack. And he also had pretty severe bouts of depression. His beliefs are interesting. He was very opposed to people claiming to have direct revelation from God. One lady came up in a carriage from London to tell him that the Lord had told her she was to become his wife. Berridge had to tell her that the Lord hadn't told him, and actually he remained a bachelor all his life. His curate says that at first he was a very rigid Arminian. That is somebody who emphasizes free will to choose Christ. Yet the one book he wrote is a defense of firm Calvinism. He asserted that he had changed to belief in the doctrines of grace because of personal affliction and from the plague of his own heart, and not by reading books. As you know, Reformed people like Berridge believe that salvation is entirely from the Lord and only by grace. In his study, there were two engravings, one of Luther and the other of Calvin. That probably says something. In 1793, he died aged 77. And to emphasize his own unworthiness, he arranged for his body to be laid to rest in the part of Everton churchyard set aside for criminals and suicides. Here's a slightly abbreviated form of what you could still read if you went to Everton, written on the side of his tomb.
The only thing he didn't write out of this is the date of his death. Here lies the earthly remains of John Berridge, late vicar of Everton, an itinerant servant of Jesus Christ, who after running his errands many years was called to wait on him above. Reader, are you born again? No salvation without a new birth. I was born in sin, 1716. I remained ignorant of my fallen state till 1730, lived proudly on faith and works for salvation till 1754, led to Jesus alone for refuge, 1756, fell asleep in Christ, and somebody's added, January the 22nd, 1793. Now that's the sort of person the Lord uses in every generation.